So we're going to start back in Leviticus 5. It's about where we stopped last night. We're just looking at this last weekend, kind of goals, where we want to get to, and then the process of getting there, and thinking of a pastor, maybe seeing a bigger picture. Sometimes that bigger picture gets lost. So what kind of... Well, let's go to Leviticus 5, verse 17. It says, "And if a soul sin and commit any of those things which are forbidden to be done by the commandment of the Lord, though he wist it not or knew it not, he yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity." And that goes for me as a member, also goes for the church as a whole. Do churches sometimes get themselves in situations, and, you know, like we talked last night, sometimes it's, you know, we love people and care about them, and or maybe we personally don't think that's that big of a deal, and maybe a bigger deal is made of things, or, you know, and we even use this excuse, well, they didn't know. But what does God say about what you don't know?
They shouldn't.
Well, he gave us the information to know. So, keep in mind, that goes to all of us. Sometimes I get in stuff that I didn't know, and what does God's word lay out? I should have known. When you read the Bible and you study the Bible and you look over passages, I'd like you to start, maybe just get this mindset or just become more observant of this. How much of the Bible is taught about man fixing things, changing things, practicing things, or stop practicing? How much of the Bible is made up of that? There's lots. And sometimes we just read through these passages and read books and things, and we don't necessarily pay attention to what all really is what being said. And basically, it's just a lot of teaching on what we're not supposed to do as man and what we're supposed to do as man. And that applies in the churches. And so understand, we are going to be held accountable even if I don't know, because God has given us the information to know, or the means to know things. Let's go to Proverbs 4. We hit last night about there in John 6, some of the disciples walked away, and you know, Peter's like, I where else am I going to go? And Peter had some ups and downs with the Lord, but the one thing Peter never did, he never left. He never left because he understood, you know, he got that point that I have nowhere else to go. So Proverbs 4, what are issues? What are issues?
Things you deal with.
Okay, but what are they? I mean, what?
Friction.
Okay, friction. We were talking about friction last night. Okay, so that's one. That's an issue. What else? What else? What other things are issues?
Bitterness.
What's that?
Bitterness.
That's an issue. Yeah.
Heresy.
Any others? Are there any good issues? Okay, because issues can be one or the other, and there can be some good issues. You know, spiritual minded. Would it be a good issue to have that you just kind of always see things in a brighter light? Always give the benefit of the doubt. Always, yeah, I see that, but I think there's potential. Is that good? That bad? Brother Nathan's shaking his head, no.
Well, I mean, there's sometimes, not all the time, no.
Not all the time?
No, because there's bad.
Because I see potential in you.
Yeah, but there's bad.
No. Let's go to Proverbs 4, verse 24. Where do you want to get to? What do you want, say, the church you're pastoring, the church you're a member of, the class you teach? What do you want? So we have camp in, oh man, I have to count. So 2 months, I don't know how many weeks, it's probably 10 weeks we have camp. All the teachers have gotten a topic, and all the pastors have gotten a topic. And so what if that topic, which is repentance, the primary theme is repentance, followed by, you know, a secondary forgiveness, and they go together. So what if, as we study the next 10 weeks, and pray the next 10 weeks, if maybe it's 12 weeks, it's not, probably not 12 weeks, but, you know, 10 weeks, what if we all prayed and looked and digested about repentance, digested about forgiveness, and all the messages went that way, all the classes went that way, all the devotionals went that way, all the cabin sponsors and their devotionals went that way. What might be the outcome of camp? What's the potential for the outcome? Well, maybe. But how about a better understanding of repentance and a better understanding of repentance, of forgiveness, which then hopefully lead to those things? Right? Does that make sense? So is that a goal to have?
Yeah.
So how do you get that goal? How do you have that issue? I mean, is it going to start on Monday?
Well, think about anything like Lord talks about. Building a house takes time. And so if we're waiting for camp to learn about the camp, then a foundation may be laid.
Yeah.
But when
yeah.
you go home, that's all you got. You
yeah.
got a foundation.
Yeah.
Nothing's done.
Yeah. Yeah. So
wouldn't it be nice?
Well, you might only just got the ground clear. Yeah. I mean,
it'd be nice to have all that framework done so that when you're at camp, the house.
Maybe you can get some plumbing in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that's both. You know, I know probably generally we read that. We read it more on the negative side, the problems that we have. They come from within us. But there also could be good things that come from within us too. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lip, put far from thee. So there are things I need to put away. Who's the greatest liability for your spiritual growth?
You.
You. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So Brother Bryce isn't in here, is he? Is he in here somewhere? So last year, deer hunting, he's walking along, and a rattlesnake struck his boot. Didn't see it. Struck right at his boot. What do you think? And luckily, it hit his boot and it didn't go through. So what do you think he did the rest of the day?
He did not lift up his eyes off the ground.
He paid way better attention to the ground that he was walking than he had prior. What do you think happened as the week went on and he walked? I'm sure that's still, you know, watching, but after a while, you kind of get used to it again, and maybe you don't start watching as clearly. What if we start really thinking about where I'm walking, what I'm getting into, and you think about it as a church, and you start thinking down the road, and we use the example of bridal relationship, that's where we want to get to, and there are doctrines and compromises and situations that sometimes get in our way to hinder us that. Let's go to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. But God said, hey, think about where you're walking. Think about where you're going. Proverbs 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes the error from the words of knowledge. Are there things that lead us away? Hey, I say this all the time. I'm sure the church in Albany gets tired of hearing it. And maybe in a week or so, the Springfield church might get tired of hearing it. God wants you happy. If you're not happy, whose fault is it? It's your own. Because God makes it abundantly clear he wants you happy. I'm not talking about walking around giggling. He wants you at peace inside. He wants you content inside. He wants you to be rested inside. He wants you to feel assured. He does everything. He's given us all this information and his spirit to help us get that. And if that's not me, if the church, you got to walk around on eggshells. You got to walk around on eggshells in your marriage. You got to, you always got to think about what you might say. Well, that is not, I would say, a healthy position to be in. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes error from words and knowledge. And sometimes the biggest one I got to stop listening to is myself. Let's go to Philippians. I'm going to skip over Psalms 119, 105 with the word. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And what do I want? What's the goal? I know I mentioned this a while back, and I used Brother Trevor and Sister Victoria before their son was born. What do they want? You know, and well, saved and all that. And then, you know, but hopefully in the bride one day. If the Lord tarries, be in the bride. Well, when's that going to start? Had to start with mom and dad before the baby's here. And how long's that got to go on? How long's that got to go on?
Yeah.
Doesn't stop. You know, and I'll use my sister. A lot of you know my sister. So my sister had the same experience as I had. And now she's got 4 kids, not serving the Lord. Got, you know, a bunch of grandkids. No opportunity. No, let's see. The opportunity to be saved are greatly diminished. Because decisions were made. And decisions made off of the flesh and, you know, the bitterness and all those things. And then the lust for what God says should be forbidden. No comprehension that, you know, I got kids that aren't serving the Lord. Maybe not all of them are saved. They got spouses that maybe are saved, maybe are not. And then they got, you know, these grandkids that have no spiritual influence. Did any of that just thinking get thought through when they made their decision, when she made her decision, when Lee made his decision? Did any of that get thought through? Did any of that, yeah, I wonder what it could be in 20 years? Nope. Nope. None of that. None of that. So what was the problem?
The individuals.
Well, yeah, but what was not seen? Because if you sit in this thought, think about, well, in 20 years or 25 years, my life could be drastically different. There could be other individuals that are in my life that I have influence and roles in that I have don't even know exists, haven't even been born. Brother Trent asked me last night, how old's your Bible? Well, I was putting it away. I told him, you know, 1987, then I said, what year were you born? You were, this Bible's older than you are. Never thought about that when I had a Bible. I didn't think there was this kid, you know, well, he's not a kid now, but this man named Trent Wagner is going to sit next to me back here and ask me a question about this book. We don't think that far. But what happens if I get off track? Philippians chapter 4. What if I, as a pastor, I thought about that? Thought about where this church, because I have goals for the church. And that's where we're going to get to. I have goals for the church that I want. I have some long-term goals. I got some short-term goals. And I got some in-between goals, Brother Dale.
Why is there so much prophecy in the Bible?
Oh, my goodness.
It's to get, whether it's the children of Israel, yeah, or us, to be looking what Jesus, what God sees ahead. Yeah. Like you're saying, to look for,
yeah,
goals, or to see down the road, and not, sadly, as you were using an example a while ago, we all do this, immediate now.
Yeah.
We get things about the immediate now, and me, and my whatever. We can't see past our nose.
Well, we looked last night, you know, some of the disciples on the, yeah, overall concept, security of the believer, walked away. Yeah. Well, you know, you can grab another doctrine and they may, and people walk away. What are our goals? We've got to have goals. And I think we need some, you know, short-term goals. You know, I have a short-term goal as a pastor. I've had it since I've been there. And we've been very close to achieving this goal. And I mention it from time to time that every member will be in one service. That is something we have never achieved as a church. Never achieved every member there for just one service. Isn't that mind-boggling? To me, that's an easy goal to achieve, but it's not. It's
just, he was not there and screwed him that morning. And you
I know. Yeah. But and the thing is, it's you know, that number kind of fluctuates different people. So to make that goal, what has to happen? I'm not even asking them to pay attention. Just like, you know, get the warm body in the room. So what has to happen? How's that goal get get taken place.
Spiritual growth.
Or you have to get out of bed, get dressed, be really nice if you brush your teeth, and get in your car and drive for 15 minutes. Because that's the average trip for us now, it's 15 minutes.
You ought to want to go.
You don't have to want to go. You just have to get in your car and show up. But how hard is that? Some people just can't do it. There's all, you know, all kinds of reasons why. Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing. Okay? Got to have goals. There's things I want. When I went to Albany, the Albany building was looking pretty rough. And the grounds looked pretty rough. Well, I'm looking at that. What would make somebody want to come just into the door? And we had no money. Well, I found some paint that we're able to buy for, you know, dirt cheap. Had a work day, but, you know, asked some brethren from all our sister churches because we didn't have enough people. We had a bunch of people showed up and we painted this building. Never, you know, the cedar shakes were not great. But, you know, you stood back 30 feet. It looked way better because all the paint wasn't falling off. Then we weeded and just, you know, put a few flowers down and just started mowing the lawn. And you know what started happening in the neighborhood? People walk by and say, that looks so much better. And eventually, you know, you're knocking on doors, you're introducing yourself, you're going around the neighborhood. People, you know, we started having visitors. And then, you know, people started getting saved. People started getting baptized. And people started coming. The church began growing. And then it got to a place, okay, now we have a couple dollars. And we have to fix the building. But the short-term goal, we got to get the weeds out of the flower beds. Just make it look a little and more, because the weeds are not going to hinder me from going, but who are they going to hinder? The neighbors, because what do they think?
You guys don't care.
They don't care. Why would I care? You don't care. There's nothing inviting there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So how are we supposed to ask God for stuff? He gives it to you right there in verse 6. And the peace of God. I find this incredibly important. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I know we referenced that, you know, about salvation, you have this peace, and that's all right. But you can have the same peace that just, hey, I'm trying to do what God wants. And when God convicts me, I want to be able to respond. I don't want to have bitterness. I don't want to have friction. There are things I may not agree with, you know, being taught. Okay, well, why is it the Bible? Okay, then why am I not agreeing with it? Well, then that comes back to me again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think about all the things we think about. And the things I think about most are not mentioned in verse 8. And what if I thought about those things more in verse 8? Is my outlook for the Lord, His ministry, does this help me to get a little bit more prepared? You know, Ezra 7:10, prepare their heart so that they might receive that word. These things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. God wants you to have peace. He wants that. And He spends all His word teaching us how to do that. What's the goal God has for us? Because God lays out His goals. And it's very simple. What's He laying? What are the goals that the Lord has? Saved and come to knowledge of truth. Okay? What's that? And yeah, that's where that truth will take me, to bride relationship. But He makes it clear, I want you saved. There's no place in the Bible that just, I want you saved and that's all that's necessary. He says, saved and come to knowledge of truth. Jump down, scroll Proverbs 11. This got thrown out there in Brother Sean's class.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
And to your point, full joy.
Which it is, it's kind of crazy to see folks not have that full joy.
Yeah.
God wants you to be like rejoicing inside, if anything, for doing his work.
Okay. And, you know, I think marriage, I think how our marriages function have a great toll on a church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you two are having problems, what's going on with the church? Because
yeah.
You two are at friction. Does that carry stuff over?
Absolutely.
Those vibes carry
Absolutely.
Over? Yeah. Proverbs 11, verse 14, where no counsel is the people fall. So Romans 15, 14, and there's another one I can't think of off the top of my head. Anyway, able to admonish one another. What are we supposed to be able to do? We've all, sometimes we need admonishment. Sometimes we need, you know, sometimes a pastor needs some help, should maybe bounce some things off. Sometimes we need reminded of what the goal should be or what we got to do. And it's okay to agree and disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we do it in a lot of different things in life. I mean, a lot of different things. Right? Where no counsel is the people fall, but the multitude of counsel is their safety. Hey, what kind of counsel is this? Word of God. And what kind of people?
Brethren.
What's that?
Brethren.
Yeah, but are all brethren spiritual minded?
You can only hope so.
Yeah, we could hope so, but so what kind of people?
Follow me as I follow Christ.
We should maybe relying on the counsel of brethren that are having of the same mind, of a spiritual mind. Because if they don't have of a spiritual mind, they're not going to be so helpful. Ephesians, Proverbs 29, this is one I want to hit here. Proverbs 29. So I don't know if you have goals in the church. I don't know if you have goals in your family. I don't know if you have goals in, pastors have goals. So how do you achieve goals?
Set little markers.
And that's the easiest way. You set little markers. And I still do this all the time. And a lot of them are just, to myself. And I'll use, this is kind of maybe bad, but it makes something big easy to chew. Oh, if you're ever packing out an elk, it hurts your back. It hurts your shoulders. It hurts your legs. And you have 3 miles to go. How do you do that? I know how I do it. I told myself, one step, another. And I'll look up. Okay, and I'm going uphill. All right, there's a stump. It's from me to Brother Sean. All I'm getting to that stump, and I'm going to stop for a second. Sometimes I get to the stump, and I'm like, I got 3 more steps in me. And I'll take those 3 more steps. You piece it up in little pieces easy to chew. What do you do with the church? Same thing. Proverbs 29, verse 18. God warns us of this. Let's read 17 because they kind of go together. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. So what do you got to do? Okay. Brother Ryan, your son is directly behind you. I would say the son that gave you the most challenge. Is that accurate?
At an early age.
At an early age.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Not necessarily now.
Yeah.
So, and I remember the frustration on your part and begging him, please just do this. And it was little, and this is this look. I want you to fold your hands like this. And he would not fold his, he'd fold his hand like that. Okay? Now, you understood the will that was behind the kid, and you would manually pull his hands apart and put them together, and he would manually turn them the other way. Is that right?
That's very accurate.
Yeah. And it's amazing he's able to sit right now.
Yeah.
Okay? But what is he now? And not to lift him up or you up, but this is what this is talking about. It's not talking about when he's 3, which would apply, but he's talking about now he's an adult, he's a man, he's married, now he has a son.
And I'm hoping.
And you're like sitting back. Because Because I see this, I see stuff in my grandkids that I saw in my kids, and I just sit back and like, let the show go. All right, this is going to be fun. And literally, last weekend up at camp, Hadley wanted to ride on the tractor. Brother Brad's going to give her a tractor ride. But he went in to use the bathroom, and she was doing something else, and Brother Cameron says, Hadley, come here. She just kept walking. He raised, you know, tractor's running. He gives her a benefit of doubt. She didn't hear. A little louder, Hadley, come here. She turned around, looked at him, and just kept walking.
Sugar, yeah.
So what happened next? Lost her tractor ride and got a spanking.
Yeah.
Right? Is that fun? Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, thou shalt give delight unto thy soul. So, same with Brother Ryan here. So when are you finding the delight in your soul? With your son? Today.
Yeah.
Now. Where there is no vision, where do you want to get? And the same with a kid. It's the same with a class you're trying to teach. What do you want your class to achieve? You know, on your as you're teaching this lesson or this topic or the congregation or whatever it might be, where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We have to have a goal. And I think sometimes we just kind of wing it. We don't really have a goal. Our goal is to show up to church tomorrow. Okay, how about we just set a little goal for all of us, and maybe, I don't know how many pastors shared with their congregation what the camp theme is. So what if we started just, you know, put that up, and this is the king, those of you that are teachers, and those of you that are sponsors, and those, what if everybody just thought, started praying about that and studying all we could from now to then about repentance and forgiveness? Will camp be different?
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee it will be different. Guaranteed. I'm going to skip over 1 Corinthians 12. Oh, Ephesians, that's where I want to go. Ephesians 4. I'm going to skip these first five verses in Ephesians. I'm going to get down here to, I'm probably going to skip 14. I'm going to skip 12 and 13 and 14. And we'll just pick up here in 15. But God wants us to grow up. He gives us pastors to help guide and direct us. I guess I'm going to skip them, but I'm going to talk about them. Verse 12 says perfecting. That word is perfecting is to equipped. And goes on edifying, talking about these saints. That edifying is to build up. Our job is to equip the brethren to be able to build that church body, that bride of Christ. And how long till we, you know, God gives us goals, till we all come to unity of the faith. That we, verse 14, be no more children, tossed with every wind and carried about with every doctrine. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, of whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which joint every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body and of the edifying itself in love. That's a goal. That's a goal the Lord has set for his church body. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. I'm just going to say with marriage, I guess it's been on my mind and heart. If your marriage is not functioning the way the Bible teaches, you're not meeting the goal that God has set for you. And it can't be good enough. This is what works for us. There's literally biblical layout of what roles are that men have and women have and parents have. And God lays that out. And it can't be, this is what works for us. It has to be, this is what the plan is. Because what works for you may not be what the plan is. So you might need to adjust some things. You may need to stop doing some things. You may need to start doing some things. This, verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. It doesn't matter what the world does. Verse 18, who is this letter addressed to in Ephesians? Church at Ephesus. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What are we blinded to? The life that God wants. I don't know if we're, I often wonder if I'm fully grasping the life that God has for me, even because it's right here. And I think sometimes I'm missing stuff. But it's right there. It's right there before me.
When I think about that, people don't know what they don't know. They don't even know what they're missing. They don't even know that it's available. You get yourself in a blind position. You have no concept of what could be.
Yeah. We hear this all the time that people are, an abusive home, kids. They just literally think, and then you talk to them as adults, they just thought that's how it was in every home. Right? They didn't know any different. I used to, bread, meat, a pill, one Advil. I used to get stuck in my esophagus and, incredibly painful. I never ate anything unless I had something to drink. And sometimes it would get stuck almost every meal, and it either get pushed down or it would come back up. And once it came back up, then I could eat. And I wasn't sticking my finger in it. It's like I would excuse myself and go to the bathroom. And I remember doing this from a kid, and I was in my 40s in the doctor's office, seeing the doctor for something else. Hey, you got all these check things off. One of them was problem swallowing. I just checked it. So he's in there, he's looking this over, and the problem I came in there for, he goes, well, I can't really help you with that. But he said, what's this swallowing thing? And I told him, and he goes, I can fix that. And I'm like, and he told me, he said, it's a super simple procedure. It's about 20 minutes long. You're kind of, oozy for half a day, and it's hardly any pain whatsoever. So I did it. I was like, oh my goodness, my life has changed. I just thought everybody was like me. That you couldn't eat food unless you had 5 gallons of water to drink it down with. We just don't know what we don't know. Who being past feeling, given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. God puts that in there for us to learn, to not fall into some of these things. Let's go down here, 2 Corinthians, skipping over a couple more. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ and many members, but make up one body. 2 Corinthians 6. The more people you have involved in something, the more difficult agreement happens. Okay? Most of you watch football. Do sometimes, the runner run the wrong play? Does sometimes the line block the wrong way? Does sometimes the quarterback turn the wrong way? Does the receiver go the wrong way sometimes? And, he throws the ball and it's like there's nobody there. And the receiver went one way and the ball went out. Well, how'd that all happen? Didn't they all go to practice?
Not on the same page.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they're not on the same page. They weren't together, okay? One of them saw one thing and one saw something else, or I just forgot on this play, we do that. Brother Sean played, football at a pretty high level. Did you ever block wrong?
A few times.
Yeah. It was always the other guy's fault, right? Because you guys probably were advanced enough, you called checks at the line, right? Yeah. And so they're like, I forgot what that was. I'll just do my thing. Hopefully it works. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. How do you get a whole church on the same page? How do you get a church of 5 on the same page? How do you get a church of 20 on the same page? How do you get a church of 100 on the same page? What do you have to want? What if we had a goal? And that goal was made clear. And we had a long-term goal, we had a medium-term goal, we had short-term goals. And I've tried this, hey, how about for this next month, we just see if we can, on an average month, there's 12 services. Let's just see if we can make 12. Has anybody in here ever made 12 services in a month? Is that hard?
No.
Yes, it is. We have never achieved it. Verse 3, give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. What makes the ministry offended? What makes the ministry offended? Anything? I do what I want. I'm not going to listen. You're not going to tell me what to do. You know, you don't understand my life. You don't know what I got going on. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 1. Favorite passage in the Bible is right here. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, that's your mind, on things above, not on things earth. We got to change the way we think. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So I learned something last week at work week that I did not know. And I found it really enjoyable. Okay? I had never heard Brother Trevor teach a class. I had never heard Brother Hunter teach a class. Guess what I discovered? They're not bad. Okay? They did a good job. Now, I don't know if Brother Trevor has more than one good class in him. I mean, that's always a fear. But he did a good job. And you know how he taught? I mean, you guys in Springfield may know, because have you ever taught the whole congregation? Taught, brought a lesson?
Yeah.
Did you do it the same way as you did up there? So that's, I mean, I don't know what your style is. I mean, I don't know what Sister Victoria gave you that day to get worked out, but is that how you do it? Okay. That was a totally different style. And it was, I was like, man, I enjoyed that. That was good. That's good. It's good not everybody teaches like I teach. Right? That was good. And then Brother Hunter, you know, I've never heard Brother Hunter teach. And it's like, man, I'm assuming he's probably brought devotionals in the whole congregation before. Those are good assets. Sometimes change is what we need. Got to set our goals, our affection. When Christ or our life shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Verse 5, mortify. What's mortify? This is to get subdued, get under control. We got some brethren that got some ideas about what this means. So instead of maybe all gloom and doom that we are sometimes, what might we realize? Hey, there are some brethren in churches that can teach, that can lead, that can prosper. Turn over here to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Down here to verse 15. I'm going to pick on Brother Trevor here. So what got you to be able to do that?
My teachers. And then.
So you mean in all your Sunday school classes as a kid, and then as a teenager, you were being encouraged or pushed or prodded to do that. Have you always wanted to do that? No. And I'm not, I mean, you seemed very relaxed. And that's a good thing. Okay? Sometimes you got to put people in a position to be able to succeed. And, you know, we got one preacher that's running around. You know, we got men, and I've been saying this for 2 years there in Albany. We got men that got to step up to the plate. But sometimes men don't want to step up to the plate. Because what happens when you step up to the plate?
Accountable.
You're accountable. And,
spotlight.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah. And the more you do it, what happens to you?
You get better.
You get better. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Who's going to stand fast?
Brother.
Brother Crabtree, how old are you? If you don't mind me asking.
Cool.
78. Brother Sean, how old are you? If you don't mind me asking.
54.
I'm 58. Yeah. Brother Doug, how old are you? Oh, I thought like 83, so okay. So if the Lord tarries, 30 years. I know Brother Crabtree, everybody wants to live forever. I don't know if there's 30 years there. I don't know if I got 30 years. Who's gonna pick up that? Who's gonna pick that up? Brother Trent, Lord Terry's is coming 30 years. How old are you gonna be?
58.
You didn't think I knew that, did you? Huh? You ever think about that? Stand fast, brethren. You gotta have a goal. Where do you want to be? And hold the traditions that you have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Church lineage happens because teachings are taught and they're passed down. And brethren rise up to those occasions and take on new roles, new positions, new things. Because guess who's... Peter's not around anymore. Peter's not here anymore. Psalms 37. Go ahead.
I'm just going to put this out here. The Lord probably was pulling on my heart when I was about 27, 28. I didn't fully give over to that in my mind and in my heart until I was 32. So there's some young men in this room right here that are in that age group. And this was something that Springfield taught us right from the very beginning. It doesn't matter where you are at today, be prepared for what might be tomorrow.
Well, and I'm not talking about called priests. I'm just talking about men stepping into leadership roles.
It's the same thing. Yeah. Because even when you look at Acts 6, who did they choose to do these things?
Yeah.
Well, men that were already doing it. They were prepared.
Yeah. So when Brother Daniel left, Brother Daniel had taught the adult class in the evening for how many years? A long time. Okay? Yeah, quite a while. He left. Brother Alex has now, that's he's doing a good job. The men stepping into these positions. So what happens if I do the goals, follow the plan that God has for me? What are my dreams? What are my hopes? Okay? So I'm just going to say with Brother Ryan, Brother Trevor for a second. I think when Brother Ryan was getting after Brother Trevor when he wouldn't hold his hands the correct way because he's being rebellious, I don't think he ever comprehended that he would have a wife sitting behind him and a grandson his wife is holding. I don't think that was thought. Maybe, you know, it's just getting through the day. Just getting through the day. Look down here to verse 4. I'll leave it here. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. We enjoy the work of God. God says, I'm going to give you your heart's desires. And it's amazing that these heart's desires, we don't really comprehend them, but God knows what they are. And he'll reward those if we enjoy doing it. Okay? And, you know, those two young men that, you know, taught, and it's just that's who Brother Sean picked, and they did. Maybe there could have been others that I've heard Brother Alex teach a lot, you know. I've heard Brother Daniel, I've heard Brother Jacob, heard Brother Cameron, you know. Never heard Brother Trevor, never heard Brother Hunter. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed seeing a new face taking on a new role. A new role for me. Maybe not for them, but for me. Brother Sean.
Well,